Hello and welcome to the round 5 preview for NRL Supercoach 2023. What a week round 4 was. We wrapped it up in misery on the weekend. Not only Nicho Hynes, but venting my frustration and my pain was therapeutic, I'll say. But we're here for another week. We're ready to bounce back, hopefully. So thank you all for joining me on this Tuesday evening. We'll say hello to a few people in the chat. We've got Brad, Kyle, Ian, as always. What will you do? I don't know yet. Brew Jim, The Bar, Davey K, Tom J, Jason Yang with the What a Man emoticon. Absolutely love it. Incentia, Wolfie, great to see all of you in the live stream tonight. Do give the stream a like as well throughout if you are enjoying it. I will quickly start off the stream. Just maybe very briefly how I went. So updated to 1099. Look, the rank was surprisingly a green arrow, to be honest. So at least I went up in rank, despite not owning Hynes. Obviously, 28K is not ideal, but lots of time to go. It's the cliche, but we'll try to see how we can bounce back, I guess. I guess the way I'm trying to think about this whole round 4 experience was last season, Sivitalikai, didn't own him for his 165, jumped on him, did nothing after, didn't have the likes of Joe Tarpany, didn't own the Trill at all during the season. I still managed to climb ranks all the way. I think I got green arrows all the way from round 7 or 8 all the way to round 25 or 26. And I was like one 50-50 decision from getting inside the top 1,000. So I guess I'm trying to give myself some confidence that it is possible. You can miss out on some of these points in these weeks, and you can miss out on some of the best players and still actually gain rank, you know, obviously with the other players in your squad doing well. So hopefully we can correct the ship, ride its course, and head back into more green arrows. And very quickly as well, I wanted to give a shout out to Wayne from the coach of How About Them Cows. I actually already reached out to Wayne, so he got the top score for last week, which I did mention the winner of the overall group was going to get this beautiful NRL Supercoach hat. So I've actually reached out to Wayne already, congratulated him. I looked at his team. Obviously, he captained Nicho Hynes, but he played Khan Pereira and Warbrick as well. So unreal. He actually had the third high score of the entire week as well. So he had an amazing week. Shout out to the top 10 as well in the overall group. They're all sitting in the top 260. Frank is in 13th, Theo in 22nd, Nick in 28th. Absolutely killing it. So do get on joining in the group if you haven't already. We will keep doing, you know, some smaller weekly giveaways throughout the season. I found it kind of fitting that it just so happened that the week that I decided to give it away was such a massive week in terms of the points with Nicho Hynes. So let's see if next time we can try to catch something similar. And fingers crossed next time that player is actually in my team as well. I did put out a poll just very quickly earlier on in the chat, just to kind of go through the run order. If you guys wanted to have any kind of influence as to, you know, how you want things to go tonight, I'm pretty flexible. Hynes has gotten 50% of the vote, so we will probably start off with him. We'll go on to second row forwards, and then front row forwards and center wings we will tackle after. But we'll keep obviously tackling your questions throughout, and there will be a set kind of Q&A, I guess, at the very end as well. So do please stick around for that as well if you want your specific question answered. So, before we get on to Hynes very quickly, I've been doing this the last few weeks, and I think I might just kick it off anyway. There is a lot of players still, obviously, with low break-evens that we're looking to target to make money. There are a lot of questions about Jonah Pezet this week. You know, potentially, is he a buy? Is he maybe a bridge up to Nicho Hynes? I can see some merit in it. Like, you know, he will play this week. He has been named in TLT, minus 82 break-even, so he'll make a lot of money. The obvious downside is that Jerome Hughes is going to be back next week. We suspect that Pezet is just going to get dropped out of the side. The other opposite side of it is that Pezet stays in the halves and maybe Munster moves to fullback. I don't really feel like that's going to happen. I feel like Munster at fullback didn't quite work out for the Storm last year. I feel like they would maybe stick with him in the halves. And Meany has been pretty good for them at fullback as well. So I don't really see too much reason. I can see Wolfie saying in the chat that he should go up like 100K. Then you can move him to Hynes. I think if you've been able to save a couple of trades to this point, or you haven't had to use a lot of boosts, I can see the merit because you're only using the one extra trade to go from your halfback to Pezet. Hope that he scores just as well as Hynes, or maybe even better, makes 100K, and that way you don't actually need to fork up. You can fork up a little bit less to get up to Nicho Hynes. So I can kind of see that strategy. I personally am not going to be doing it. I haven't really considered it. I just think there's enough other issues in my team where I don't have those trades available to kind of make those make that play. So personally, I'm not going to be doing it. I don't hate the strategy. Just know it does obviously come with some risk. He's definitely not a must, as Wolfie is suggesting in the chat. because the job security is quite poor, obviously, with Jerome Hughes coming back straight away. And yeah, no guarantee he's going to stay in the 17 at all. So I think he's good for an easy, quick flip to Hines to make some extra money. But apart from that, I don't really see too much value. Cam Pereira obviously has not been named this week because of the bye, but he came good with 117, so a big negative break even for him. To be honest, the majority of these other players on this list with the lowest break evens, you know, some of them are in the top discussions, you know, the likes of Zach Hosking, the likes of Josh Schuster, Connolly Lemuelu. Lemuelu actually, I think, is going to be, you know, he's actually going to get dual position. So he is someone who probably is going to be the most relevant in terms of the new dual position changes that are coming in round six. He'll get second or forward, I think, added onto his current center wing status. He's at a nice price that you can plug into your center wing if you needed to, say, you know, make some money. I will answer a quick question here from SC Camel, which is thoughts on keeping Trindle. So Trindle was named in the 17 this week on the bench. So yeah, even if he just steps onto the field, he's guaranteed to make money with a minus 39 break even. I guess it just depends. Are you okay with not going with Hines this week? If you're okay with still not going with Hines this week, then I think it's fair enough to keep Trindle. But then obviously you know that as soon as probably after round six happens in round seven, I think you're probably going to want to have to try to get up from Trindle to Nico Hines, and that will probably cost you maybe 500k. So just make sure you've got a plan, I think, at that point to make that money to get up to Hines. But personally, like, I'm leaning towards getting Nico this week. I think I saw enough. Which is making me think that if I was in the same position, I would be trying to get from Trindle up to Hines. But obviously, there's still a lot of money still to be made out of Trindle, even if he just plays 5 minutes off the bench. In terms of other players with negative break-evens, I think Hands from the Eels is definitely one I want to keep an eye on, because I'm looking at Reid Marnie in my hooker setup, and I think maybe a lot of others are who moved onto him after Brandon Smith. And Sonny Luke, because he's got the HIA, he hasn't been named this week due to that 11-day stand down. Now, I am thinking that in the future, if I did want to create more funds, I've already got Harry Grant locked in. If Hands continues to play off the bench and plays some decent minutes, because he did look quite good for the Eels last week, he could be a nice little cheapie for us. I definitely would encourage moving on him this week because he did score a try, which is probably inflating his score. I would be looking to probably give it another week, and you know, maybe next week is an opportunity to move to him if you wanted to create some more funds, if you wanted to bring in some more gun players, like maybe a 5'8", like Dylan Brown, a Garrick, or maybe Nathan Cleary, for example, if you haven't gotten him yet. There's obviously a lot of guns out there that we'd be looking to target, or, you know, make money for a front row forward is another one of the things that I'm also thinking about. So Hands is on my radar. Lemuelu, I think, is going to be solid. I just don't feel like... I feel like, for me, he's going to be one that's going to get away. I don't think I'll be able to make the trades to get to him. Who else is there? Yeah, Warbrick, obviously fine to keep in the team. You know, someone like a Campera, obviously, hopefully. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Ken Mamalo, because he has now moved to the Titans. I would hope Campera keeps his spot, because if he plays another game, he's going to make so much more money. But yeah, we'll just have to see how things play out. Sorry, there's a little mosquito in my room. Just going to have to swat that away. And I did mention it very briefly, but the dual position changes are going to be coming in from round six. To be honest, none are really Supercoach relevant. The only players that are confirmed to get them are New Brown from the Bulldogs, who will get the second row forward added to his hooker eligibility. Sebastian Chris is going to get fullback added to center wing. And Lemuelu is going to get the second row forward added to his center wing. There's a few other notable players on the watch list. Probably the most notable is Adam Dewey. So he's been named again at fullback. Now, Supercoach NRL's rule is that they need to be playing at least three games in a position for that to be added on. He won't make the cutoff in time for round six, so he won't be getting fullback status in round six, but there is a possibility that it comes in round 12. Just something I thought I'd mention. A couple of others as well, with Tom Starling maybe getting second row forward, and maybe Cobbo getting fullback, and maybe Pezzett as well getting the 5'8 spot. So that could be another maybe small factor, but, you know, given the fact that he's only going to play the one more game and he might be out of the squad next week, that does make him a bit of a risk as well. Right, that's enough of the kind of admin, if you want to call it that. Let's get on to the real hot topics. Nico Hines. Surely it had to be Nico Hines is the first one that we're going to be talking about. I can see Benny in the chat saying, Nico, 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 I know that you brought him in and captained him, so you're loving all those points. I did not, so very, very sad hours for me. So I think obviously the question is, like, for owners, you got nothing to worry about. You've locked him in, you've locked in those points. It's for the non-owners. It's like, what do we do now? Do we stick to the plan of getting him after the bye in round seven, or do we actually just jump on him now against the Warriors? Now, I will note, so I've got the little draw matrix that I do as per usual. I haven't yet updated the color schemes, I guess, for these different teams yet. That's probably something I'll be looking to do in round six. The Warriors are definitely improved. They're not the easiest team now to score points against. They are defending quite well. I think they're fourth on the ladder, and I think they're in the top four for points conceded. They're defending very well. So, you know, you look at that matchup and you think it's not a must game for Nico Hines to go big. My feeling is the way I'm trying to assess the whole decision-making process of, you know, what was the reason why I didn't start with Nico? Why didn't I go for him in round five? So for me, it was a case of, it was 900K. I thought the Dragons would be better because I thought it was a local derby, the Sharks playing away. First game back coming from the calf, I wanted to see kind of how he was going to go. And, you know, I can reassess from there. I never kind of outright said that I was going to strictly get him after the bye. There's a small part of me did think there might be a chance where I have to get him in round five this week. And just the way he performed, like, I know Dragons just kind of imploded in the second half. And I know the Warriors have improved, but I'm just looking at him like he's going to be someone I'm going to want eventually, right? He won't change in price until round seven because he's got the bye in round six. And don't get me wrong, round seven is a Roosters game, so it's not the easiest game on paper. The games after that are the Bulldogs, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. Now, Bulldogs are looking a little bit better, but I still think there are points on offer. Cowboys are not looking as good. I'd probably downgrade them in my difficulty rating. And the Dolphins, we know, are good, but they're going to be without Sean O'Sullivan for an extended period of time, and he's been quite good for them. So that obviously might mean as a team overall, they do kind of reduce in the quality, I guess you can say. So the draw doesn't really consider me, doesn't even bother me, to be honest. Like, Hines is matchup proof. I'm just looking at it as like, what's changed from 1 week that's now making me think I'm going to get him in this week. Even if you forget like the 180 points, like, he just looked good. Like, there was I have zero concerns about his calf. Like, he was running the ball a lot, just looking amazing. And even if he scored 80 points less, if he scored 100, there's a pretty good chance I think I'd get him. I think he would have had to have scored less than 90 for me to say I feel comfortable not going for him. If he scored over 100, I was probably going to be thinking, you know what, he's going to be someone I want anyway. Coming into this week, I thought, he's probably not going to be someone I'm going to captain, so is he really worth it at 900K? And I will say that in all honesty, if I brought him in this last week, I wasn't going to captain him. I probably would have still stuck with Grant. So yes, it would have been nice to have him, but I wouldn't have got the max points that a lot of the captains did. Now looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, this week, my team, the main captains that I think of are Cleary, Turbo, and Nico Hines. Turbo could very easily be a captain, but I'm looking at Nico now, I'm thinking, yes, the Warriors are pretty good at conceding points, but even if they only concede 18 points, who's to say that, you know, Nico just gets two or three try assists and we're comfortably looking at like 110, 120 again. He has got a crazy record against the Warriors. I know the Warriors are very different, but I think his biggest ever Supercoach score was against the Warriors. So for me, there's a bit too much FOMO. I think I saw too much. I will be getting Nico Hines this week. I'm pretty certain of that. Hatsbra says the same thing. I'm biting the bullet and getting Nico this week. There's a few people asking about using lots of boosts. So I can see Tour Pro saying, I feel like using three boosts in a row is a massive mistake. To be honest, I'm not that bothered if you're using three boosts. If you're setting up your team well for the long run, you're jumping on the players that you missed out on, fixing mistakes. I kind of found from last season that the boosts being used early in the season did help people. This season is a little bit different, where you obviously have two extra weeks in the number of rounds. We went 27 rounds, not 25. We do have also three major bye weeks and a bye each week. And I guess we do have this new HIA mandatory stand down period. So there's probably going to be better feasibility in actually keeping boosts or holding on to them. Three boosts is probably the max that I'd be using, maybe up until say round 10 or something. But you know, that's I'm probably more on the conservative side of things. There's a very good chance I'll be boosting this week. I've only used the one, so I feel okay using two boosts. And if I'm boosting for Hines, you know, to me that feels okay. So I think people who are thinking about, oh, like, you know, I've already used two boosts, but let's say I don't own Hines, I'd personally be okay boosting again if it meant you got in Hines, because I don't want to go through that experience again. I want to have fun in this game as well, so I would have much more fun just being able to cheer on Hines this week as well, because he's a great player. We love watching him. So for me, Hines is coming in. I think if you didn't own Hines and you're pretty still set on not going for him, I think that's perfectly fine because the Warriors are improving, and they do look much better defensively. But yeah, for me, I will be jumping on Nico for this week. So that's that. And the other thing as well is that I own Josh. Sorry, I own Sam Walker. So Walker has got Parramatta this week, which is okay, but then it's a pretty tough draw with Melbourne and Sharks. So, round eight obviously looks good against the Dragons. But yeah, for me, Walker, he doesn't feel like, to be honest, when I started with Walker, I think a lot of the plan was to move to Hines in rounds 4 and 5. So I think I'm just going to maybe stick to the old original plan and I'll just move for Hines. I feel like Walker, I feel okay with selling. And even someone who has Cherry Evans, I know it's a good week against the. It's a bit more difficult if you own maybe like Cherry Evans or Adam Reynolds. Reynolds was pretty poor last week, only 27. I think it was on like -2 at half time. He does have the Tigers this week, but I think eventually you will probably want to go for Hines as well. So I still feel like moving Reynolds on for Hines, even with the tougher matchup and the bye coming in round six, in the little table that I've put below me, I've just taken each of these players' averages against their upcoming opponent. Just to really see, obviously I know it's a little bit skewed because players play in different positions all the time, so the averages versus opponents isn't always accurate. But I just wanted to put it together just to see, is there a chance that Hines in 1 week can actually outscore some of the other halfbacks in 2 weeks? I'm looking at Sam Walker. His expected points against the next two opposition is 91. Hines has an average of 108 against the Warriors. So I'm looking at that thinking, yeah, there could be a world where Walker goes 40 and 50, and Hines just gets 100, and it would have made sense to move to him anyway. So for me, with a walk as a Walker owner, I feel okay about it because he's got two tougher games. Looking at Anna Reynolds, it's close as well. So it could be like 20, 30 points differential. So I guess you kind of just have to weigh up, is the 20, 30 points that you might get holding on to your existing halfback worth being able to kind of watch Hines and expect that he's not going to go big or something like that. So I think that's just what I'd be weighing up if you're looking to move on the likes of a Cherry Evans or a Reynolds. I know me, if I think I owned one of those two guys but I didn't own Hines, I'd probably still be looking to get him in this week. I just do think that him and Cleary are the elite the halfbacks that we have. So for example, Humble is asking, actually this is a little bit different from Humble. He's saying he currently has Hines and Cherry Evans but he doesn't have Cleary. Would I trade out Cherry Evans for Cleary? That's a little bit tougher because Cleary does have a high break even still of 114. He is playing Canberra away. Canberra aren't looking the best and Jack Whiten is unavailable for them as well. I do think that Cleary is going to go well, and this is probably another small question I'll also address. Anyone who's thinking about doing Cleary to Hines, it's probably not one that I would do because I do think that Cleary is going to do pretty well over the next little period. Canberra away, I think there are definitely some points on offer for them. Manly have improved, but we know Cleary can easily still get like 75, 80. Newcastle away is obviously great. Rabbitohs is tough, but then you're looking at the West Tigers in round nine. Cleary is probably going to be a prime captaincy option. I'm looking at Cleary's draw, and I think it's definitely starting to open up now as well. So if you're a Cherry Evans over, I think you could maybe afford to hold this week because it is a really good matchup against the Knights. Even saying that though, the Knights have looked a bit better defensively in a couple of games, like last week and also against the Tigers. Manly do run into Penrith in round six, so that's probably a point where you're saying, okay, you probably don't want to own Cherry Evans in that. And then he's also got Melbourne. So again, for me, would I move to Cleary this week? I probably would. It's only costing you 60k as well. They both do have high break evens, so it's quite nice in terms of the price differential. It's only 60k that you're forking out, and you are locking in, I think, the much better longer term option. So yeah, to be honest, I think if I had Cherry Evans, yeah, I'd probably be also making that switch to Cleary. Matt says thoughts on Hines or Cleary? Don't have either. That's a tough one again as well, because if you don't have either, I would have to think that it would be Cleary because you're taking, if you're looking at the next two. You're taking Cleary's two games over Hines' one game, and I think there's a good chance that Cleary can match Hines this week. Canberra away, I do think is a good matchup. We have spoken about the Warriors improving as well already. So if I didn't have either, I'd probably actually go with Nathan just because he's got the two games over Hines' one. But eventually, yeah, round seven, I think, yeah, try to get in the pair of them. That's the pair that I think we all want to get at halfback. In terms of other players, I've got Dewey here. There will be actually, I haven't really put another section together on Adam Dewey. To be honest, Dewey looked okay, 54 points on the weekend, pretty much all in base. He really didn't do much playing at fullback, still goal kicking as well. So I'm trying to think about people who maybe have like Dewey, like they can move Dewey to Hines via Katoa. Feels a bit more difficult to try to sell Dewey because the performance is okay. But again, like Dewey's got a bye coming up fairly soon as well in round 7. Broncos and Parramatta. I know he's got a really good record against the Broncos, but they are looking a little bit better. So again, it's probably one where I'd say, yeah, maybe I'd make the switch straight away. It is much easier though with Dewey that you can hold him, knowing that he's got 2 games over 1, and then around 7 when he's got the bye, it's a perfect switch to Nico Hines. So that's also something I would just think about. Wolfie's asking, would I sell Katoa? I'm going to guess that's Isaiah Katoa. To be honest, he hasn't really been featuring in like my head in terms of trade plans. I just want to have a quick look at what his break even is. His break even is 6, so there's a good chance that he'll make some money. Him and Milford have been named in the halves. There is a chance that the Dolphins' overall performance does dip now that they haven't got Sean O'Sullivan, because he's been pretty steady for them. For me personally though, this week I wouldn't be looking to sell because A, he's got that low break even, and beats the Dragons. Like, the Dragons are conceding a lot of points. There's still potentially some money to be made out of Isaiah Katoa. So I think for me, he's fine. And he does have a handy jewel. So it's very nice. I think when doing trades, you can kind of flip him around. So he's a nice little piece to have there if you're not looking to make 2 reserves in your 5-8 and your halfback spot. Let's see. Okay. I'm just seeing if there's any other questions around the halves. So this question about Garrick, would I prioritize Garrick over Nico? Well, to be honest, yeah, coming into this week, I was going to go probably get Garrick this week, but Nico has kind of changed my plans a little bit. So yes, I'm going Nico over Garrick. I know Garrick's got the good game this week against the Knights. Scored 71 on the weekend, didn't really do too much. I think he had like a couple of line breaks, but no tries, still scored 71 is good. But oh God, I'm just thinking about Hines and how well he played. Just, I can't get it out of my head, to be honest. Someone said before, I think I sound a bit panicked. To be honest, I feel like I'm pretty calm, I think, about the whole Hines situation and moving forward. So Jack actually raises a good point. Is Mitchell Moses an option? To be honest, I didn't even put Mitchell Moses here because I think, like, I know the draw is opening up for him, and he was very good actually last season, but I think, like, Hines feels just like almost close to a must, I think, from round 7, and then Cleary just for me just feels like the nice safe one. So like Moses is an option with the draw, but you are really counting on that draw, whereas I think the likes of Hines, Cleary are just matchup proof. I like Moses maybe a little bit closer to Origin, because there's obviously, you know, guaranteed Cleary's going to play Origin. And so I think if you're looking to sell him over that period, I really like Moses at that point because Parramatta are really good for buy coverage. But for right now, I think we're still a few weeks away from that. I'm happy, I think, just to go with the Cleary-Hines combination. And Sam's asking Reynolds for Hines, even though of the matchup. Yeah, this is completely fair, right? Like, Tigers is a great matchup for the Broncos. Tigers have got a bit of a thing over the Broncos at Suncorp, though. Like, I think they've won the last couple of games there. Broncos have been good, but, you know, the Dolphins were in that game. It was only really the last 10 minutes against the Dragons that the Broncos did very well. Like, yeah, to be honest, I think if I owned Reynolds, I would probably still be going to Hines. I think Hines is just by far and away the better option overall, in my opinion. I think if you're in the camp of, like, you can stomach another week without Hines, then sure, because he's got the really good matchup, Reynolds. But for me, I think I'd still make that switch. But you can tell I'm very much in the camp of I'm all aboard going for Hines this week, because I just think the potential is there for him to go big again, even though I know the matchup on paper is actually looking quite difficult. Accenture saying, would you say it's more important to ship Dewey out for another 5-8 rather than moving to Nico this week? No, to be honest, with Dewey, I'm not actually as concerned. I actually posed this question to NRL Physio. So I obviously sold Dewey last week. Small part of me regrets that because I think, obviously, one, he outscored Dillbags. But two, he actually looked okay. And the fact that he scored 54, not doing a lot, is pretty encouraging. So I think with Dewey, if you own him, he's also at a price now at 570K where he is offering actual value at that price tag. Like, I sold him last week before he had his big price drop. Whereas this week, I think if you're looking to sell, it's probably you know, probably not getting a lot of value, I guess, out of that. And the only other five bets you'd be going to in my head would be Munster or Dewey, Munster or Dillbags. Dillbags still has the Roosters this week. Munster's got a, I think he's got a game against the Rabbitohs. We know Munster's obviously a gunner, can get it done against anyone. But I do feel like Dewey is fine to hold now, actually, just because Physio thought the performance looked okay. I thought he looked a lot better as well on the eye test. So for me, I wouldn't be having to prioritize, I guess, Dewey out this week. Last week, it felt a little bit different because there's a lot more uncertainty, I think, about his how he would perform. All right, so I think we've covered off the halfbacks in quite a bit of detail. I'm seeing a couple of questions about front row forwards. To be honest, I'm not seeing a lot of questions about second row forwards. Maybe I've just missed them. But, you know, someone like Cam Murray was the most traded up player this week. So I think we'll probably just quickly flip to that one. I can see Alex, though, in the chat has posted his trade saying he's gone Murray, Sam Walker and Cotter to Schuster, Hines and Haas. Yeah, to be honest, that feels like a very nice boost, Alex. I do like getting in Haas. I like Hines, obviously, and Schuster. We'll talk about Schuster now, actually, as well. So second row forwards is a obviously a completely stacked position, and a lot of people are selling Cam Murray to get to Hines. You know, Murray, I think, is the most sold player. I want to double check that before I start talking nonsense. Just waiting for the game to upload. Yes, he is the most traded out player, followed by Adam Dewey, which is actually surprising. I don't think Adam Dewey should be second on that list. But yeah, Cam Murray is the most traded out player. I imagine a lot of people are moving down to the likes of Jackson Ford, Josh Schuster, maybe a Zach Hosking, even the likes of potentially Wilton, or even maybe another gun like a Madison, Brenton Nicora, Kalamatangi. They've all looked quite good. So, yeah, in terms of the thoughts around, like, I guess, selling Murray, I posted my trade plans on Twitter. I think Murray is potentially one that I will be looking to move on this week. His stats, to be honest, are still okay. Like, he had base stats of 62 last week against the against Manly. So, obviously, still making a lot of tackles. But this is something that Benny G actually said last week, and I watched the highlights again, and he is playing a lot of that link man role, which he was actually last year. It's just not, he's not putting people through the holes that he's creating with his passing, so he's not getting those line break assists, try assists. With Murray, I know he's a gun, and it can definitely happen. And to be honest, now his break even, I actually don't think his break even is 80. I feel like that might be a mistake. Sorry, I might have to double check that, because I have a feeling his break even is like in the 60s. I want to check this. Apologies, I had to put a lot of the stuff together today very quickly. Oh, no, okay, no, he does have a break-even of 80. Look, so a break-even of 80, even if he scores 60 this week, yes, he'll go down a little bit more in cash, maybe 15 to 20K, but it's not an enormous amount of money. But I think the thing with Murray is that we know if you can hold on to him, great. We know he's a gun. The issue is that the second or forward is stacked. There are so many good options. It feels like you can go save 200K, 250K, maybe 300K, get close to similar output, and 300K is your Sam Walker to Hines ticket. Boom. That's why it's a very popular trade this week, and it feels very easy to do. And whilst I think Murray can obviously punish in the future, for me, completely viable, I think, to be moving on Murray this week because of what it enables. If you're going for a Hines, if you're going for a Garrick, for example, I think those are the type of moves in combination with selling Murray that I think I'm on board with. So I think in terms of, you know, if you are looking to sell Murray, who are the best replacements? I can see a question from Tour Pro, which is Jackson Ford or Zach Hosking. So coming into this stream, or coming into, like, maybe my thinking yesterday, my thinking was Jackson Ford. He's at a cheaper price, 325K, just on the stats that I've actually got on the screen for Ford. I've taken out his HIA game. So you can see in the two games that he started, he's played the 80 minutes. I've read some article where I think Webster was quoted as saying that he expects Ford to be out there for the big minutes, which is essentially like the 80 minutes. And it does look like he has locked down that spot. Tour Pro, to answer your question, I think he does seem to have locked down that 80-minute edge role for the Warriors. So for me, job security feels okay. Stats-wise, been pretty good. His average base power numbers when he has been starting is 58. Only a two-game sample size, but it's pretty decent. You know, 58. If you look at Murray in that same period of time, his is 56. So you're getting actually very similar output between Murray and Jackson Ford, but you're getting it at like 300K price difference. That's the reason why a lot of people are moving to Jackson Ford. The thing with Ford, though, is because he had that four in his rolling average, his break-even is still pretty manageable. That's at 22. So with 22 in his break even, he's not going to go massively up in price this week. You know, he might go up, if he say he gets like 60 points again this week, he might go up to say 350k. So he might go up 25k, which is not ideal, but it's not the end of the world. And now I really like the look of Hosking. I owned Hosking for that small period of last season when he was up playing a couple of games for the Broncos. Was really good, lots of really good base stats, loves to tackle. And I know it's a very small sample size of one game, but he wipes the floor in terms of the stats compared to all of these other guys that I've got on this list here. Even if you exclude his average score, which is only the one game of 117, his base power in that game was 80. I'm pretty sure his base stats were 64, which is ridiculous. His PPM was 0.96, which is amazing. Play the full 80 minutes. The biggest question mark with Hosking is the job security. You know, Luke Garner's been not named in the squad. Apparently, he's got a few niggling injuries, which is why he hasn't been named. But to be honest, like, I'm actually, like, coming into the season, I thought Hosking would have gotten the starting edge spot for the Panthers. It went to Garner. Now I'm looking at it, the fact that he played so well and he killed it. I personally think that he's going to hold the spot. So it's a more of a punt to go with Hosking this week, but I think he's got much more potential to be like a genuine top 17 player come end of the season if he holds down that spot. Remember, if he continues to play in the right edge spot outside Nathan Cleary, that's a really good spot to be playing outside of. We saw what happened last week when Cleary put him through for a try. That can definitely happen again. The base stats are just so good though. So for example, Finn saying, I have 500k for a second row forward, who do I choose? To me, it would be one of Ford or Hosking. And so to answer that original question, which was Ford or Hosking, I lean closer to Hosking, I think, at this stage. The thing with that is, I mean, we have another week to wait with Hosking. You can wait one more week, see how he goes, and then next week, maybe you can get a bit more information about is he actually going to keep the spot. I'm just looking at him, though, thinking, like, I think he'll score more than Ford this week. Ford's got a relatively tough matchup against the Sharks, so Ford might go maybe 50, 55. Hosking against the Raiders without Jack Whiten, he might go 60 base, but he might get an attack stat and go 80. And all of a sudden, everyone is probably going to jump on him next week. I feel like it's one of those times where maybe you could look at this as a close 50-50 and maybe take the gamble and see if you can get one trade ahead of the crowd. It's kind of what I'm thinking at this stage. So I think Ford is very safe for job security. Hosking, obviously much more of a risk, but I have a feeling that he's going to hold down that spot. So I'm leaning towards going Hosking at the moment, and I can still afford with a boost Murray to Hosking. That's like 200k. I can do Sam Walker to Hines, and I can just do one more trade to fund it. So for me, like, I don't have to go all the way down to Ford. I can go to someone like Hosking. So in my honest opinion, Ford or Hosking, I would actually go with Hosking at this stage. I just think he's going to get the most. I feel like he's going to outscore Ford this week and probably the week after, and just moving forward. I think his potential as an outright gun is just much higher as well. I really liked what he did last year at the Broncos too. So in terms of other people saying the Cardi party, so I haven't got Cartwright on this list here. He does have a one break even, so he does feel a little bit too late now to buy. So congrats owners. Like, you obviously, I think, made the right call between him and Matt Dury. Just on Dury, I think he's got a break even of, I want to say 11 or 15. So Dury at the moment, he is in my squad. He's probably not someone I'm looking to move this week. Like, I don't have to move him because I'm pretty sure even coming off the bench, he will be able to hopefully get more than 11 points. But then next week, he might be someone who I then look to move on to, say, a Ford or a Hosking. So again, with the Ford Hosking dilemma, I'm kind of thinking I can get one this week and I can probably get the other next week. And so I'm thinking maybe I just take the chance on Hosking and hope that he outscores Ford enough. But Cartwright owners, I think you're doing just fine with him. One break even, he's a great player in your 17s. And eventually, I think when Sean Land comes back, you'll have a much clearer idea as to what his role is. And then you can always move down then to some other second or forward. The second or forward, as you can see, is stacked. So many good options here. So in terms of Humble's question, which is Hosking, Eli Katoa or Cardi. So Eli Katoa, I have been very keen on Katoa. He's looked really good. Base stats are really good as well. Like, his base and power average is 60, which is really, really good for a starting price, which is 411k. Even at 577k, he's not at a bad price. Like, I think you can still move to him. But let's say if you're selling someone like Murray, you're only getting like 110k out of it. It just doesn't feel like a big downgrade in terms of generating the cash. And he is running into a tougher draw now. He has, the Storm have had a few good games. They had games recently against the Bulldogs, the Titans, and who did they play last week? The Tigers. He is coming to a slightly tougher run now. And then he does have the bye in round 9, I want to say. So that is something that you should think about with Katoa. It's kind of why those small factors are making me think I'm not going to lean to Katoa. I think, I feel like I've not missed the boat, but I feel like maybe I can try and go a little bit different with maybe an equally good option in Hosking, who doesn't have the bye coming up. And so I do really like potentially going with him over Katoa. So Hosking, I probably rank slightly above him, but I do rank Katoa above Cardi because I think Katoa's job security is much safer than Cartwright, even though Cartwright has been doing very well for the Eels. So Inksenti is asking Reynolds to Hines and Dury to Ford. Can't afford Hosking. Like, yeah, to be honest, if you can't afford Hosking, but you can afford Ford, it's still probably fine if that gets you to Hines. Like, Ford is not a bad option, put it that way. I'm just having a slight preference for Hosking. In terms of some of the other people, I think a lot of people are looking at selling. Carrigan was one. There was a few questions I've just put up on the screen as well, which is, would you trade out Murray or Carrigan? To be honest, if you can afford that 20k difference, I would just trade out Carrigan instead of Murray, because I think like you can see with Carrigan, he basically is just like a close to a 1 ppm guy, but he doesn't quite have the upside, whereas Murray is kind of still matching Carrigan, but we just know he's got that higher upside and that attacking stat potential. So I think for me, if you're looking to sell one of the two, I would hold on to Murray and I'd probably move on Carrigan if he's one of your downgrades. Tohu Harris is an interesting one. He's been named, but we have no real guidance, I guess, on his injury. The fact he's been named is probably a good sign, but I guess it's a really tough one. I think if you own Tohu Harris, I think he is the third most traded out player. It's tough because the Warriors play, I think, one of the last games of the week. If you can kind of finagle or hold off having to do your trade, like let's say, for example, you're doing the downgrade to get to Hines. Remember that Hines and Tohu Harris play in the same game, as does Jackson Ford. So maybe you can wait until that game, and then if Harris is a late out, move him down to Jackson Ford, and then you can maybe trade up to Hines. Although I guess the difficulty is the person you're trading out for Hines might have locked out by that stage. So that's maybe something to think about. So Tohu Harris is a bit of a tricky one. Not a must sell, but I can understand if he's your guy that you're looking to downgrade. Knee injury might hamper him and his future points. And he has got a relatively high break even as well of 95. Robbie's saying Murray scoring 60 isn't a disaster. It's definitely not a disaster, but I guess the argument is that there are other guys in the position who are much cheaper than him scoring about the same. And that money lets you get from someone like maybe a Tabuai Fido to Garrick, Sam Walker to Nico Hines. It's that kind of combination that you need to look at where you say, is it Murray and Sam Walker, or is it, I don't know, Hosking and Nico Hines? I'd probably take the latter, for example. So nothing wrong with Murray's scores. They're okay. But for his price tag, you can just get better value elsewhere that lets you fund bigger upgrades. Isn't Hosking going to lose his spot when Garner and Martin return in like a week? This is the thing. I kind of just have a feeling that Hosking is going to keep that spot. And, you know, Liam Martin has been used in the middle before. Maybe there's a chance that Hosking just goes to the left edge and Martin stays on his right edge. Scott Sorensen's playing left edge, I believe, this week. Scott Sorensen is normally a bench player for the Panthers. I don't know, like, Garner had that one good game in round 2. But like Hosking came in and absolutely killed it. So there's obviously a risk. There's definitely a risk if you went with Hosking early. I guess the downside is that, look, if Hosking is out of the side next week, I guess you just trade him down to Jackson Ford or that case. So you are burning an extra trade. But I do like Hosking. I do feel like he is going to maybe hold that spot down. Jeff saying trading out To'o instead of Murray. Yeah, that's probably fair enough, but I do like that draw for the Panthers. So to be honest, out of those two, I actually think I would be taking out Murray. And Ian is saying Martin to the left as he got moved there 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so that's something as well, that Martin could move to the left and, you know, Hosking could just stay on the right edge as well. And yeah, I don't know. You guys can pretty much tell I'm very keen on Hosking. I think there's a good chance he'll come into my team this week. Tour Pro saying, can you show your team? Yep, I'll definitely get into showing the team at the latter end of the stream. Wow, we've already gone for 40 minutes and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of this week, but hopefully that covers off a lot of the second row forwards. Wilton, maybe I'll quickly mention him. I think that was a question about, would you go Wilton, Katoa, or Hosking? I think my order would be Hosking, Katoa, Wilton. The fact is that Wilton just has the bye in round six. He's been good, but he might not be in that top 17 level player. If you still like the look of him, maybe you can pick him up after round six when he passes by. A couple of gun second row forwards here, like Kalomatungi, Brenton Nicara, and Ryan Madison, all on my watch list. Not going to be able to get them in this week because I'm looking to downgrade my second row forward, but they've been killing it. Stats are really good. So again, Nicara has the bye round six. Madison looked really good. Definitely someone I'm eyeing up. And Kalomatungi's just been really good for the Rabbitohs as well. Cool. All right. So that's, I think, the second row forwards done and dusted. Although, to be honest, I haven't even mentioned Schuster. In terms of Schuster this week, you know, if you're looking at maybe Ford or Schuster, Schuster's a fine play this week against the Knights, and I don't mind downgrading to him because I know the base stats weren't great in round one, a little bit better in his second game. And I've just put this price change calculator tool as well from NRL Supercoach Stats, which is a fantastic website. I've just assumed if he averages his current average, which is 43, how much money would Schuster make? So he would make approximately 170k over like, what's that? About 10 or so weeks. So he will make some money. And the way that I'm looking at him is I think he's a fine downgrade this week because I think you can just play him on matchups. Play him in against the Knights, play him against the Tigers, play him against the Titans, but then sit him against Penrith, Melbourne, and Broncos because you know that his base stats are not good. If I'm going one of Ford or Schuster, to be honest, this week, I think I would go Schuster, play the break-evens a little bit. He's a little bit cheaper. He's probably a better play this week as well compared to Jackson Ford, who's got the Sharks. Schuster's got the Knights at home. Well, actually, they're playing in Mudgee. They're not really playing at home. So that's kind of my general thoughts on Schuster. I'm probably looking to boost to buy him this week because I do like playing him this week in my 17. Does free up quite a bit of cash as well. But yeah, that's kind of generally my thoughts on Schuster. I think he's a solid buy. There's obviously a risk where, you know, he goes 25 and barely makes money. But just as a pure downgrade, at least you know he's playing and we know the potential of him as well. And he's at 241k. I feel like it's a low risk as well. So that's kind of my thoughts on Schuster. Okay. So we'll talk center wings a little bit because I'm seeing a few questions coming in about center wings. I'll quickly answer this one from Jane. Is Lachlan Fitzgibbon a buy? To be honest, I've never really thought about Fitzgibbon as a buy. I'm looking at his numbers though, not bad. 74, 72, 66, 72, base of 43, 45, 46, 58. To be honest, like those two games without tries is pretty encouraging, but the draw does toughen up for the Knights a little bit, as you can see here. They've got Manly, Warriors, Penrith, Cowboys, Parramatta, and then a bye. So I feel like those attacking stats that he's gotten will pretty much dry up, in my opinion, and then he might just revert back to like a mid-50s guy. And I think his price tag at 578k, I think I'd be trying to go down a little bit cheaper. I think there's plenty of other cheaper options who could maybe be better performing than him. Just before I move on to center wings, Tour Pro saying Nat Butcher an option. Yeah, Nat Butcher is an option because he's still starting and obviously coming off the bye, so there's no bye concerns now with Butcher. Pretty solid average of 65. The price is a little bit high at 597. So I feel like, again, there's 200k that you could get from going to Ford. There's like 150k that you could go going to Hosking, and I feel like they're going to get similar points to him as well. So I think from a money perspective, I'd probably look to just go even further down than Butcher. I know the draw is, again, tough, but for Butcher, it doesn't really matter. He's more of a workhorse. I'm, again, just thinking value-wise, maybe he's not ideal. Robbie is saying Schuster is a mystery. Look, another thing as well, like Manly got pretty much dudded a try that was called a forward pass. And Schuster caught the ball back with Brad Parker. He passed it then on to Turbo. If Turbo goes in then and scores that, Schuster's getting at least a try contribution, if not maybe a try assist. And all of a sudden, his 26 is now closer to 38, 40. And you're probably thinking, okay, he's gone 59, 40. That's not bad coming into the Knights. So maybe that's something as well to think about. And in game one, he scored 59 with three try assists, but two of them came off kicks. So there's no line break assists associated with him as well. Even if he's mystery, it's fine with me. I think I'll probably be okay looking to downgrade to him this week. All right, so on to the center wings. So I'll quickly address this question because haven't really got anything specifically covering them. Talk Warbrick, Alamotti, Taruva, and Khan Pereira. To be honest, A2, D2, I look at all of them. They're all in my squad. I'm just going to hold them for now. Warbrick, Camporeiro, Alamotti all have negative break evens. Taruva scored like 50 points on the weekend in pure base. I like the draw, I think, is opening up for Penrith as well. So for me, he's going to play in my 17 pretty much every week. So yeah, to me, I think he's going to be solid hold, I think. A couple of questions coming in around Lockie Miller and thoughts on him. So yeah, apologies as well. There's no picture of Lockie Miller with his Knights jersey. So he's got his Sharks jersey in this picture, but he doesn't actually play for the Sharks. Same as Greg Marzu, who plays for the Knights, not the Titans. So in terms of Lockie Miller, like, he's done really good. I know he picked up the goal kicking as well for the last two kicks, I think, for the Knights. His base stats are really good. Base power average of 45 is pretty solid. Oh God, sorry, a big insect came out of nowhere. I just don't love the draw now for the Knights. I think they've had a good run till date. Haven't really played too many tough opponents. So I'm just going to quickly go back at their draw. So it's been the Warriors, to be fair, who have been better, 52 points. Tigers, 50. Dolphins, 98. And then Canberra, 103. I'm looking at it now, looking at Manly, who are good. Warriors, who are good. And this is a home game for the Newcastle Knights. Then it's Penrith, Cowboys, Parramatta, then a bye. I'm just not thinking the draw. Like, I feel like he's also quite expensive at 669k. I'm just not thinking he's maybe the guy I'd be looking to jump on. He's going to be solid, I think, and do a job for you. Like, in that period, there's probably a good chance he goes and averages 60 because he's got those really good base stats, really good floor. Ian saying Marzu not in a Knights jersey. Again, there was no picture of Greg Marzu in a Knights jersey that I could find on the internet. If someone can find one, please send it back. Please send it to me because I do want to put that in there. But yeah, I think Ian's made a, not Ian, sorry, it was Robbie, who's made a good point here. I think this is the kind of thing that maybe is worth thinking about. If instead of going with someone like a Miller, I mean, Marzu is a beast, 581k, like his numbers are just ridiculous. But we saw how good the Sharks were, the likes of Mulatalo, Jesse Ramian, Sione Katoa, they could be nice little pod options that you can go for maybe from round 7 onwards. So if you want to lock in Miller for the next few weeks, I don't mind it because the draw is probably okay for the first next 2 weeks. Does get a little bit tougher then with Penrith in round 7. So for me, I think he's going to be really solid, but I just don't see him as the guy I need to prioritize bringing in this week. Bruce saying, I'll Photoshop it for you, my man. Thank you very much. I'll hold you to that. And Marzu, again, similar thing where had an unreal performance, 122 points, low break even now of 9, but he does have the job security issues around him because of his poor defense. Although Dom Young is obviously on the outer, there's a good chance that Marzu just stays on the right wing and continues bossing it. So I'm happy enough to give Marzu another week and play it from there. But I am conscious of the draw for the Knights not being the best moving forward. Val Holmes. So Two Pros asking, is Val Holmes a sell? Been very disappointing. Now, fair enough. Like, Val Holmes hasn't quite hit those big heights that we were hoping for, I think, coming into the season. Lost some money now at 668k. Averaging 62, so it's solid but not amazing. Still has a few good games coming up with the Bulldogs, Dolphins, and Newcastle. Warriors away in round 7. Obviously, now it doesn't look so easy. And then it's the Sharks and then it's the Roosters. I'm personally still looking to hold Val Holmes. I know a lot of people are thinking about doing Val Holmes to Garrick, and that, look, Garrick, I think, is objectively a better option than Val Holmes with the goal kicking. I think he's playing on a more attacking team at this point in time as well compared to the Cowboys, who are not putting up that many points. And Holmes scored about 70 points on the weekend, which included an intercept try. So if you take that out, we're looking at like maybe a 50-point game, which is fine. But yeah, not amazing. I'd say disappointing is fine. Flop, probably a bit strong. Not saying anyone said he was a flop. But yeah, so like, yeah, I do think that Garrick will outscore Val Holmes this week because of the matchup. But I'm just thinking with Holmes, he doesn't, again, feel like the biggest issue in my team. I feel like Hines is someone I want to get to. I feel like Murray, because there's a lot of good other options as well at second or forward, I feel like he's someone I can move on a little bit easier, and lots of good replacements. Center wing, there are some good options here with the likes of Miller, Marzu. What I'm thinking, though, longer term is Tabuai Fadeau, for example. He's currently in my squad. He's got a break in the 30 and a good matchup against the Dragons, so I'm not looking to move him on anytime soon. Does toughen up a little bit, though, with trips away to the Cowboys and the Rabbitohs. So I'm thinking maybe in round 6, I know I may have missed the Newcastle game, but, you know, Garrick is still someone who I think if I don't get him in round 5, at least by round eight, I'm definitely, I think, going to want him when he comes up against the Tigers. So for me, I'm looking at him as I might just have to unfortunately not go with Garrick this week and instead just go with Nico, basically. So I guess that's the question that was at the very top of the stream was, would you prioritize Garrick or Nico? I'm going Nico Hines because the thing with him as well is that his ownership is spiking this week and he's probably going to be the most highly captained player. Last week it hurt. This week, if he goes big again and he's that captain, like that could really be like a season ender in terms of like you're just so far behind the pace at that point, maybe. So I'm thinking priority for me is Nico and Garrick. I'll try to get in round six or I'll try to get him maybe in round eight. Oh, sorry, round seven as well when it's a home game against Melbourne. And I can look at someone like Taboo Fadeau as a way to get there. You know, maybe Marnie down to a cheaper hooker like Sonny Luke or Hands from the Eels. That immediately gets me 400k, which would be what I need to get from Taboo Fadeau to Garrick. So for me personally, ideally I'd have both, Holmes and Garrick. I think those two would be really nice. In terms of Carraz, I think Carraz, like, to be honest, I haven't really heard many questions about moving on Carraz to another center wing. He's very expensive now at 738k, so I feel like if you don't own him, you kind of have missed the boat slightly, and I think instead I would just buy Garrick for like 10k more, or not even 10k, 5k more. Try to capitalize on the Knights matchup this week. But yeah, with Carraz, I do like, obviously, I'm just going to keep Carraz, I think, for the foreseeable future because his base stats is just still ridiculous. If we see a drop off, I think we'll just sell at that point. But yeah, he's proven to be a very, very handy option in center wing. Ian's asking Holmes, Fadeau, Alamotti, or Luttrell for Garrick. I mean, if you had to sell one of them and you can afford it, I'd sell Taboo Fadeau. I think Luttrell's fine to hold. Alamotti's still got a negative break even. And Holmes, I think, yeah, I'd prefer trying to add to him if I can rather than sell for Garrick. Harry's saying between Garrick, Miller, or Marzu, who would you go for? Marzu lets me go straight trade from Dewey to Dealbags next week. Now, I would again say Garrick here because I don't think that now that Dewey to Dealbags is a must trade next week because I think Dewey could still actually come out be just fine. As he kind of gets recovered from this turf toe injury. And I do think Garrick is by far the best of all of those three center wings. So I'm just going to plug in my charger. All right. Yep, so that's my kind of question, I guess, on Garrick. Ian's saying, if you still have Teddy, can you not go Teddy to Garrick? Now, Ian, this isn't a good question. If I own Teddy, I would not be selling this week. We'll get to it in the captaincy discussion, but the Parramatta Eels concede a mozza of points to opposition fullbacks. Coming for bye, I think Teddy could have a huge week this week. So if I own Teddy still, I wouldn't be moving him on, in my opinion. In terms of some other center wings, quickly gave a shout out to Matt Tomoko because he's had some incredible numbers the last couple of weeks as well, but the Raiders don't really interest me because I just don't think they're, you know, especially without Jack Whiten, but you know, his average last 3 weeks is 73, base stats of 29, 48, and 50. So, yeah, pretty good base numbers from Tomoko. Connolly Lemuelu is obviously an option as well if you are looking for a bit of a downgrade. Someone saying sell Suoli'i. Yeah, I think if you're still holding Suoli'i, I would be trying to get to someone like Garrick, I think. I don't think Suoli'i is a must keep, whereas I think Garrick is a genuine center wing gun that you'll keep for the remainder of the season. Mr. Carly says, finished work, Ace Swizzle, how are we? We're doing just fine. Seems as though the Ace Swizzle nickname is still sticking. All right. In terms of others, Isaac Thompson. Isaac is saying, Thompson is a problem. Udo to Tarpany Haas or Thompson to Lemuelu. Yeah, to be honest, I think the front row forward position upside-wise is less so compared to these other spots. Like, Thompson hasn't really been that good. I think Lemuelu has looked pretty solid. So Isaac, I think as a better upgrade for your team, would probably be the Thompson to Lemuelu, in my opinion. Is Teddy a pod buy? All right, let's get into maybe some fullback chat. So not really, I think, too much to chat on this week. I think the only thing that's probably worth mentioning is Reece Walsh. You know, for example, if you didn't buy him this week, is it too late to buy? Personally, no, because he's still got the West Tigers this week. He's still looking good. Good matchups as well against the Raiders and the Titans, so he could easily be someone that you can theoretically hold for the next month. Someone is saying Latrell's clearly playing injured, he's a sell. Clearly playing injured, yes, potentially, but I'm looking at the draw for the Rabbitohs, It's not ideal still with Penrith, Broncos, Melbourne twice in the next kind of 6 weeks. But I don't know. I feel like I said last week if I owned the Trell, I would be trying to keep him. I still kind of feel that way. I know he's got a still high break even of 127, but I don't know. I can still see, I can see the merit of going to Walsh this week because Walsh still has a low break even of 18 and he's versing the Tigers at home. So I think still, if that's like a downgrade, well, it might not even be that much of a downgrade in price, but at least that switch frees up some money. If that's the money you need to do another upgrade elsewhere, I'd say it's sure. But again, Latrell, I think, could be someone that we all look to move to. And if you don't, and you know, if you're someone who wants, like Tua Pro, for example, jump on a pod, Teddy as a pod this week could be unreal because we'll get onto it a little bit later. Parramatta conceded a lot of points to fullbacks. Couple of tough games, but then it's the Dragons around 8, which I think is another Teddy potential 150 game. So don't mind buying Teddy as a pod this week if you've got that ability. If you've already locked in Hines, maybe if you own Latrell, Latrell to Teddy feels a little bit sideways, but I do think Teddy will outperform Latrell this week. That's just my general feeling. But yeah, that's kind of my general thoughts. Turbo, I don't think is a discussion point at this point. If you don't own Turbo, I would be looking to still get Turbo. I know he performed not that great last week, but this week against the Knights, you're going to want to own Turbo. All right, I think we'll try to speed things up. So the little bit of chat on front row forwards. There was a question I think that came on my Twitter was, who's the best front row forward outside of Tarpany, Tino, and Payne Haas? In my opinion, it would probably be someone like Max King, because we heard today that there's been another further setback with TPJ in his rehab. So I think, to be honest, Max King should get some better minutes moving forward, or the same minutes of what he's currently gotten. Very solid, steady option at 589k. But if you are looking to upgrade your front row forward, it is, in my opinion, to go for one of Haas, Tarpany, or Tino. Tarpany is the one I mentioned last week, is a bit more of a pod who can cover you through the origin period. Payne Haas, eye test-wise, is looking the best. He's looking very damaging, very threatening, lots of offloads. Thing with Tarpany is that it seems as though the Raiders overall are not offloading. I heard this on Bloke in a Bar, so shout out to Tim Williams as well, who I think actually is the one who mentioned it. As a team, just overall, they're not offloading as much as last season. So it feels like maybe part of the game plan is to not offload as much. I feel like if Tarpany was offloading at the same rate as Payne Haas, or even just a little bit less, he, in my opinion, would be the standout because he's not averaging that. I mean, he's averaging a bit different, but the base and power average to Payne Haas is not that different. 65 versus 71. PPM is amazing at 1.3. He's better for the buy coverage as well. So I think I mentioned it last week. I still feel the same as well. Is Payne Haas, I think, on the shorter term, up until round 13, it's probably going to outscore Tarpany. But if you're just looking to do one upgrade, lock in the front row forward for the rest of the year, avoiding origin, I'd probably say Tarpany is the one who I still would lean. He's a little bit cheaper now as well than Payne Haas as well. Tino is great, but again, he's got the same thing with origin. And I do think that if you're going to go with Tino, so it's got the same origin thing, I would just go with Payne Haas. If you're looking to avoid that, then for me, Tarpany still stands pretty clear. If you're going for a slightly cheaper option, Tom Gilbert was a bit of the flavor of the week last week. With the TPJ news, I do kind of like just going with Max King. Nice, solid option. He's good for buy coverage. Doesn't have a buy until I think round 13. So he's good for that as well. Anyway, we'll probably wrap up the front and forward chat there. Just want to speed through because I'm already going for an hour, so I don't want to go for too long. I won't go through the top 10 trades ins and outs. I think we've covered pretty much all of these players. The only one is Tanner Boyd. But look, if Tanner Boyd's being sold for Nico Hines, yeah, I'm all for it. He's got the buy this week. It's Nico Hines. Yep, I'm on board. Now, in terms of captaincy, I do want to give a shout out for captaincy. If you're on Twitter or you don't own Twitter, or don't have Twitter, sorry, not own Twitter, that's Elon Musk's, do please give a follow to NRL Statman. I've put at NRL _Statman. He started posting some unreal threads on Twitter about the average points conceded to opposition positions. Really, really helpful for Supercoach, and he does it in terms of Supercoach points conceded. It would have been very helpful for last week, seeing that the Tigers actually don't concede that many points to dummy halves, and it's where I found that Parramatta concede a lot of points to fullbacks. So do give him a follow. Do check out his threads that he does every week. It's absolutely unreal. Really recommend it. And then as well, of course, to NRL Supercoach Stats, where I get all my general stats from in my videos. And honestly, I don't think I'd be able to do these videos without their stats. So in terms of the captaincy breakdown, I'm going to try to add in, and I've gotten clearance as well from NRL Statman. He was fine for me to share these numbers. the average points conceded to that position. So, for example, Teddy, if you own Teddy, he's a serious pod VC. I think if I own Teddy, I would VC him this week. Because I think, you know, you can see Parramatta concede the most points to opposition fullbacks. In terms of other players, it's probably going to be VC Cleary. Someone had a question about would you have VC Garrick or Turbo. I know Garrick outperformed Turbo last week, but I think I mentioned this to someone else who asked the same question last week. In most weeks, I feel like Turbo can go big and Garrick might not have any involvement. Whereas if Garrick is going big, there's a good chance that Turbo himself is going big because he's probably setting up Garrick as well. So I'm always going to take the safe route, I think, and go with Tommy as the VC captaincy option over Garrick. Turbo is currently my VC. Knights actually haven't been that bad at conceding points to opposition fullbacks. 53 is the average. But remember, they have had a fairly like easy draw, I guess. Like, I'm just going to quickly look at their draw. So it was the Warriors, Tigers, Dolphins, and the Raiders. So the opposition fullbacks were Chancellor Klukstad from the Tigers. It would have been Dane Laurie at that time, Tabu Ifedoe, and it would have been Sebastian Chris. So the fullbacks that they've come up against aren't really the Supercoach guns that we normally see. I think that average and that rank position, I'm kind of putting a bit of context into it. I think Turbo is going to do really well this week. So, yep, for me, Turbo VC feels pretty clear. Cleary is an option, but I think there's a good chance I'm going to be bringing in Nico Hines this week. If I bring in Hines, I think I'll be captaining him. He does play at the very end of the week as well, which is very helpful. So for me, if you're a Hines owner, my preferred combination is VC Turbo, Captain Hines. If you're not going with Hines, then it would probably be VC Cleary or Teddy. And sorry, it can't be Teddy. It'd probably be VC Cleary and then Captain Turbo. Walsh is a bit more of a pod because he's got the Tigers. I'm kind of looking at him thinking, I don't know if the Tigers are actually going to fold over in that game because they've got a randomly good record against against the Broncos at Suncorp. So I'm thinking if that's maybe playing in my mind. So for me, Turbo feels the safer option. I do think that the Knights will give up points to him as well. And so for me, Walsh is the more of the pod choice. I've put in Val Holmes here as well, but I think most people probably aren't going to go with Val Holmes captain, just given that it's an away game against the Bulldogs. But they have conceded 64 points on average to left centres. So something to keep in mind. Ian saying VC Turbo, Captain Nico. Yep. Mudcrab saying VC Walsh, Captain Hines. That is something that you can definitely do as well. If you're not feeling the Turbo and you want to go a little bit more pod, Mudcrab, you're suggesting it again. I think VC Walsh is definitely on the cards as well. And we do have genuine loop options this week as well with Khan Pereira and Dave Fifita out with the bye. Remember, they won't lock out until the last game of the week. I think VC Walsh is also a decent strategy, but I think I'll be trying to go Turbo, in my opinion. Just feels safer. Nice, more of a comfort blanket, in my opinion. Robbie's asking about Chester. I mean, Chester I don't think is going to be an option for the Cowboys moving forward because I think next week Drinkwater's back, and I think at that point he's just going to take the fullback spot. For me, Chester I don't think is an option. VC Turbo or Teddy. I'd be tempted to take the pod on Teddy. I think I do feel like that those numbers are something that is worth looking at with Parramatta, conceding a lot of points to fullbacks. I think I'd go VC Teddy over Turbo. Okay, that's it for the preview. So I think I'll quickly just get onto my team. Oh, if I have my team loaded up, that'd be very helpful. So I'll quickly go through what I'm thinking with trades, and then I'll do about 5 minutes of questions because I'm already going a little bit over time on the stream. I've been rambling too long, but we'll try to get to your questions in a little bit. So yeah, in terms of my team, let me zoom in a bit, and what I'm looking to do. So I do have a situation where I don't have to actually do a boost to get Nico Hines. So the way that I can do that is if I go Sam Walker to Nico Hines, and I go Murray to Schuster. Who was it? Neokore. Yes, Neokore I think I'm going to be trading out this week. I think he's been okay, but not amazing. I think I'd rather just take the money saving. So I can actually keep Murray and get Hines in this week by going Neocore down to Schuster. It leaves me $500K in the bank. Sorry, $500K. It leaves me $500 in the bank. So, like, I would play Schuster this week. It leaves my second row forward a little bit weak. Actually, not really, because I'd have Murray, Hopgood, and Fifita moving forward. I've got Hines in that this week, and I can save a boost. So that's one option I have thought about in terms of not if I didn't want to use the boost. But to be honest, I'm okay using the boost this week and, you know, freeing up money potentially for down the line. So what I've also thought about is doing Murray out for one of Hosking or Jackson Ford. I think the way that I'm thinking now is probably going to be taking a chance on Hosking. That leaves me with 208K in the bank. And what I'm thinking about doing next week. So I know front row forward is an issue in the team. It needs to be fixed. But I think I'll be looking to make a move in round 7 when Oichikumanu has his bye in round 7. And I think I'll be looking to make an upgrade at that point because Christian Welch also has the bye in round 9. So there is going to be an upcoming issue with these two front row forwards. But I think for now, I'm looking to just keep it and just ride it out. And so if I did this as a boost, I get 208K in the bank. Next week, what I can do is Matt Dury out for Jackson Ford. That might cost me maybe 40K potentially. So I'll have 150 something K in the bank still. And at that point, maybe if Tabuai Fidota as well, he might hopefully get over 500K. I can maybe go to a mid 600K center wing option, maybe as a bit of a pod. Maybe it's Marzu, something like that. Maybe there's another pod that sticks out that I can move to, or I can do just the one trade of Dury to Garrick. Oh, sorry, Dury to Ford. That'd be round 6. The week after round 7, if I wanted to get in Garrick, I could probably do that by downgrading Khan Pereira because he's going to go up in price again if he plays next week, and I can go Khan Pereira down to a cheapie. And then maybe I can do Reid Marnie down to Sonny Luke or Hands, and that could be maybe a Tabuai Fidota out for Garrick or someone else for Garrick. I'm not looking to make in too many plans at this stage, but I am thinking of maybe doing this boost this week. To be honest, the only situations I can think about doing this week is changing Hosking to Ford or just saving it and just doing Walker and Neokore to Hines and Schuster. That could be just what I do. Connolly Lemuelu is an option as well at center wing as a downgrade potentially for Khan Pereira. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. But I think I'm leaning towards doing this boost, freeing up some money. But yeah, still remains to be seen. But it's either going to be this or I think just doing the Walker and Neokore out for Hines and Schuster. So it depends, I guess, do I need to use the boost or not? It's kind of what the decision I need to make. But that's that. That's what I'm looking at doing my team. Hines is definitely coming in. When Hines is in the team, I'll make him captain and I'll VC Turbo. And I think the reserves more or less pick themselves at that point. It would be, yeah, essentially the reserves that I've got now is who I'd be reserving coming into this week. All right, that's that on the team. We're 1 hour, 10 minutes into the stream. So do please give it a like if you've made it all the way through. We'll do 5 minutes of questions. Sorry, I couldn't do much more time for questions, but we have been going on for a while, so I'll do 5 minutes of straight Q&A and then we'll wrap things up there. Okay, let's see. Jane Lewis is saying, hey man, thoughts on Holmes to Lemuelu, Carrigan to Ford, and Moali to Haas, 260k spare for Reynolds to Hines in 2 weeks. So I think it's fair enough to upgrade Moali. He is an issue. I'm just thinking front row forward is just kind of like a spot. Like, Do I really need to make the change there? Holmes to Lemuelu is probably, yeah, they're probably going to score about the same. Carrigan to Ford, I think is fine. I guess it's just the question of doing that further downgrade of Holmes to Lemuelu. I don't love the Holmes to Lemuelu, in my opinion, because Kafusi is going to come back soon for the Dolphins. At that point, job security of Lemuelu, not too sure. Maybe he stays on the edge and Kenny Bromwich stays at prop. Carrigan to Ford I'm on board with, but the Holmes to Lemuelu I'm not personally feeling. Dury or Boyd out for Hoskins or Hands. Can only do one this week. We'll do the other next week. If I was going to do one of those this week, it would be the Hoskins one, because I think Hands is still a complete unknown. Like, I feel way more confident in Hoskins' job security than Hands. So for me, Hoskins is a better long-term prospect. Dury is probably going to make his break even, but yeah, ultimately will have to be sold. So for me, yeah, probably would be Dury out for Hoskins. What do I think of these trades? Sam Walker, Hines, Murray to Ford, Cotter to Tarpany. Yeah, I think they're all fine. I think we've kind of said that, like, I'm on board with getting Hines in this week. Murray, I think, is okay to sell. Ford, I think, is fine. And yeah, I like Tarpany for Cotter. So I can't complain with that boost. Opinions on selling Fadeau to Jackson Paulo to make some money to bring in a gun, center wing, or fullback in a few weeks. I don't hate this play, Cameron. So Jackson Paulo does have a fairly low break even. I think Parramatta is a game where they Roosters can score points. So I don't mind making that switch now if you've got the trades available to kind of, you know, make the cash rises from Paulo and then, yeah, make the switch to a gun center wing. I think it's a pretty decent play. Okay, lots of questions coming in, sorry. Do I bring in Cleary with a boost for Boyd or play a Nickel Clookside Liero this week and buy him at a discount next week? To be honest, Stuart, I would be fine boosting for Cleary to avoid playing CNK or Liero. Cleary is just Cleary. I think he can do well as well this week against the Raiders. Incentia, Dury's gone next week anyway, so might as well get rid now. That is true. Like, I could just get rid of Dury. Like in this boost situation, yeah, I probably don't even have to get rid of Niokore. I could just take out Dury instead. So that is an option. Like, Niokore is not a must sell. He's fine to play. And yeah, that's maybe an option. That way I can just, if I have to keep Niokore, that's okay. So that's food for thought. It's definitely food for thought with my squad in general. So yeah, I'll keep that in mind. But it's definitely an option. Murray to Hosking as a standalone trade, don't need the money. If you don't need the money, then I think it's obviously much easier to just not do it. But just think about if you will you need the money. I think if you don't need it for the money this week, then I think it's fine to just wait until next week if you wanted to jump on Hosking. For me, this money is to fund Nico, so I'd have to make that call this week. So yeah, for me, I'm going with I'm leaning towards Hosking. Someone else in the chat was asking why not Ford. If you go back to the second and Ford section, I spent a lot of time discussing that. I'm feeling Hosking more than Ford at this week, and Ford's break even is 22. So even if he goes up in price a little bit next week, it's not going to be like a humongous price increase, is what I'm hoping for anyway. I think there's better points potential as well from Hosking. Robert saying, I can't believe I just found your channel. Great work, champion. Oh, appreciate it. Do subscribe as well if you are enjoying the content. Hey man, prioritize Garrick or Tarpany? For me, it would be Garrick. Just upside potential, I think, for sure. Sell Josh King or Carrigan? What has Josh King been averaging? I know he had that one crazy week to start off with, but to be honest, I have not really paid attention to his scores. 55, 34, 75 last week. 61 in base stats. So he's averaging 65, basically. To be honest, I think I'd hold on to Carrigan because King has got a buy as well in round 9. Carrigan, at least, you know, safe all the way until Origin in terms of the buys. And I think he's just a better option. So, yes, probably Carrigan for me. I would be holding. Thoughts on Reynolds, Tedesco, and Niokore to Hines, Walsh, and Ford / Schuster. So you have held on to Teddy till this point. But it's looking like you need to do Tedesco to Walsh to fund the Hines upgrade. I do like Tedesco a lot this week, but I can understand going for Hines this week. So yeah, I'm probably on board with doing that. I think, you know, Walsh this week is still going to be a good option against the Tigers. And one of Ford or Schuster, as I mentioned before, I'd actually lean towards going Schuster this week. Kalamatangi is a pod, yes, for sure. I spoke about Kalamatangi a little bit in this 2RF section as well, and I'll try to add timestamps as well to this after the stream. Traded Cody last week and have AJ Brimson. What's the rebound? 18k, AJ was in my team at 5'8". Not quite understanding the question, but are you suggesting going from Brimson back to Cody Walker? Cody Walker did have a good week last week. You know, he scored two tries, but just ever since kind of like second half of last year, he's just not really been an option. Like, he scored two tries and scored 80 points. Like, just not getting involved as much, I think, with Latrell taking more of a role in the team. So I know the draw does open up a little bit for the Rabbitohs, but I'm still not really looking at Cody Walker. I think I just feel much more safe with Dewey, Dillbags and Munster. Stuart says, your points versus position would say that this week Ford has a better scoring potential than Hoskins does versus their opponents. Just a note to add. Okay, I'll double check that, Stuart. I'll keep that in mind. I need to double check that, I think, just to make sure that I consider all of that, because Sharks obviously on face value looks like a tough opposition. Ford will be running at Nico Hines' side, so that's a side with Nikura and Ramian. They're pretty solid defensively, so I'm surprised to hear that. Hosking running at Canberra's left edge. I guess there's no Jack Wyden. That's kind of coming into my thinking as well. Preston or Schuster to play this week? Toughy. I mean, Preston only scored 42 last week. He didn't kill it. I think I'd play Schuster just to chase the kind of upside that he can present against the Knights. Fifita to Ford, Dewey to Schuster, and Boyd to Hines. Now, Jane, just on that, I didn't actually mention Fifita once yet on this stream. I'm personally not keen on selling Fifita. I think I'm seeing enough from Fifita. He's being involved. I think Foran is definitely helping, and Fifita playing the left edge. For me, Fifita doesn't feel like a sell. So if you have another second or four like Murray, I'd prefer selling Murray to Fifita. I'd prefer selling Murray than Fifita, if I'm being honest. Okay, we'll do one more question because I need to jump off soon. Hey, Martin, would you do Dewey and Tanner Boyd to Hands and Dillbags? Or would you do Murray and Dewey to Dillbags and Ford to help with Haas next week? I would definitely, I think, be doing the Murray and Dewey one, Dewey one. I just think Dillbags and Ford just look much better options, and you're getting actually a lot more money in the bank as well. Hands is kind of a risk we just don't know about yet. So yeah, for me, I'd be doing the second lot of moves. All right, guys, I know that there are lots of questions coming in. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to everyone. We'll see if we can do a Thursday lockout Q&A stream for you guys. But if I can't, just keep pinging me on Twitter, on YouTube comments, and I'll try to get back to all of you. But thank you all for tuning in. I know the stream was a little bit longer, but lots to get through. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Do please give the stream a like as well on the way out. Do subscribe as well to the channel if you haven't already and you want to see more content during the season. That's my spiel over. See you all in the next one.